Future Proof Extra
with Jonathan McRae.
Proudly supported by Research Ireland
on News Talk.
If you're anything like me, it's around about this time every 4 years or so where once again you find yourself wondering how it's possible that the person who wins the vote to be the next US president can get less votes and yet still win. It doesn't seem fair at all. But of course, there are many ways in which democracy can be and seem unfair. So who has the fairest system? And how can political science help? Well, Elizabeth Maggie Penn is Professor of Political Science and Quantitative Theory and Methods at Emory. She joins me now. Welcome to the program, Maggie. This term of political science, as you know, this is a science program. Do you think this term fits within the area of the sciences? Would you say that is fair to say political science is a science?
Yes. I mean, it's there are many different types of political science is a broad umbrella. But in terms of the study of electoral systems, that's incredibly scientific because these systems are just algorithms. They're mathematical formulas for tallying things up, and they satisfy different types of mathematical properties.
Great. Okay. So now that we've gotten that out of the way, let me understand a little bit about what your work is doing in trying to understand fairest democratic systems. What is your work involved?
So there are different ways of studying the fairness of a system. Sometimes it's empirical. So with respect to electoral systems, oftentimes people will empirically want to see how close the vote shares that parties received translate into the numbers of seats that they receive.
Wouldn't that always be the case, that the number of votes would be represented by the number of seats?
No, okay. Absolutely not. So for example, in a plurality election, you can have a candidate winning with 50% of the vote about, and they would get 100% of the seats, right? Because there might only be one seat. So So majoritarian systems like that are actually very disproportional. So that would be sort of an empirical way of thinking about fairness. Mathematically, we might think about whether a system satisfies different types of properties. So the types of system you use in Ireland, like single transferable vote, ranked choice voting, those systems violate a monotonicity condition. So it can be the case that more support for a candidate can cause that candidate to lose. They violate a participation.
In what way?
So you can construct a system, like a distribution of ballots, so that by pushing a candidate up on that ballot, I create a different loser in that first round of the election.
Right.
And by creating a different sort of pool of candidates in the second round, I can actually cause my candidate to lose.
Yes.
So that would be how that would happen in those types of systems. Although it can happen in many different types of systems also.
And so how do you go about divining which democratic system of voting and elections is the fairest? And is there one that mathematically is seen as being the most fair out there, as in representing the will of the people as best as we possibly can?
So part of the problem lies in what it means to talk about the will of the people. And this was sort of a Nobel laureate, Kenneth Arrow, won the Nobel Prize in part for his work on trying to look at this question. And one of the takeaways is that there's not a great way of discerning what that means. So any system is going to violate some very reasonable criterion of fairness. So I just described a monotonicity criterion, but there are many, many other types of criteria that might be satisfied or not satisfied by a system. So to answer your question, I don't think that there is a best system. I think in a majority election, in a single district election where we're just electing one person, I do personally think that having a system that satisfies what we would call the Condorcet criterion is probably best. And that means that if there's a candidate that would defeat every other candidate in a head-to-head race, then it would be good if that candidate actually won the election.
Yeah, absolutely.
Most of our systems violate that.
Let's look at the American system then. How fair is it? And how do you, I mean, how can you judge that mathematically?
So plurality rule is a pretty bad system. Plurality rule can elect a candidate that is last ranked by a majority of voters. And there are empirical examples of that happening. And then also with respect to our electoral
college. Can you just talk us through how that happens?
Absolutely. So say that you have three candidates running in a plurality election. You could have one candidate with 34% of the vote, and the other two candidates each have 33%. And maybe voters that like those other two candidates rank the third one last. but he can win the election with 34% of the vote, and while 66% of the people rank that candidate last.
Right. So in other words, two-thirds would much prefer somebody else, but because he got just a little bit more, he then wins, despite the fact that he is the least favorite candidate for the others.
Yes. And so, and Jesse Ventura, people speak about his election as in his gubernatorial election in Minnesota as being sort of an example like that.
Okay. And then what about the presidential race? Does that fare any better in terms of fairness? And how do we figure that out mathematically?
Well, in the presidential race, we're suddenly constrained by the Electoral College, which is obviously not majoritarian at all. But it's also subject to the same pathologies of plurality rule in each of these states, right? And so I would say that there probably aren't a lot of really compelling reasons for the Electoral College nowadays. One of the reasons for it that people give is that it ensures that a winner has some sort of broad base of support across the country. Mm-hmm. But when you have a really polarized election, all that means is that somebody that a majority of people feel really strongly about might lose to someone that a minority of people feel really strongly about.
Right. Can you just, for listeners who may not be familiar, just explain the Electoral College system and how it works, as opposed to just a straight, everybody votes for a candidate across the country and the one with the most votes wins?
Yes. So in the Electoral College, we have our 50 states and Washington, D.C., and each of them is given a number of electoral votes that is roughly but not perfectly correlated to the population of those states. And then within the states, there's a little bit of variation, but the vast majority of states have a plurality election. So the
candidate. Just explain that again, the plurality election.
Mm-hmm. Everybody votes for their favorite candidate, and there might only be two candidates on the ballot. Typically, there's also going to be third-party candidates on that ballot. And the candidate receiving the majority of votes in any state takes all the electoral votes from that state. So that's how it works. And then the candidate that ends up receiving a majority of the electoral votes, and there's 538 of them, wins the presidential race.
Right. And is there a fairer way of doing that? I mean, if we were to say, for example, just say that everybody in the country voted for their own favorite president and vice president candidate, and the person with the most votes across the country wins, is that just not a fairer system?
I mean, I think that it would be a more transparent system. I think most people would probably think that it's fairer. Maybe not people in Nebraska or Iowa or something that, you know, might be benefited by the Electoral College. But I think
that's because their states get proportionally more votes versus the number of people living in those states.
Absolutely. Yes.
Right. Okay. So why is the American system then not moving towards a more one vote per person type of election?
Because it would require a constitutional amendment to change. And right now, and maybe probably forever, I don't see that happening.
Right.
So
it's okay. So we're stuck with the electoral system.
But it is. It's transparent. It elects people that have a lot of support, maybe not the majority of the support.
Is there an election system out there that is deemed most unfair?
I mean, I would say that by people that study these types of things, plurality rule in terms of the very common electoral systems is deemed very unfair from the standpoint of satisfying that property that I told you about. A winner can, you know, be ranked last by a majority of people. There are other systems that are even worse than plurality rule, that are kind of variants of plurality rule, such as the block vote, which would be like a plurality rule, but with where you're electing more than one candidate. And then you can wind up with a situation where a small majority sort of sweeps the ballots in a very disproportional way.
Are there any electoral systems that take out the policies of particular candidates and allow you to vote for them? I mean, it sounds like a very futuristic way of voting, but for you to be able to vote and sort of answer yes or no questions to a number of political standpoints, and then, you know, it provides you with your candidate. I know that there are this candidate matching websites out there. Does anyone actually put that into practice and say, this is the candidate you will vote for because these are the policies you most agree with?
Oh, that's an interesting question. So I not that I'm aware of in the real world. Obviously, there's, you know, referenda and propositions that people vote on that give them the ability to vote directly on legislation. But I haven't heard of that being translated into a candidate vote.
Would we be able to imagine, would that be a more fair system if people voted for policies and didn't know the candidate they were voting for?
I think that you can have really bad outcomes as the result of that. So Proposition 13 in California that passed in the 70s put a cap on property tax rates, and people blame that for kind of gutting public education in the state. So I think that we have our representatives maybe to potentially push stuff through that would be painful to a majority of us, or maybe painful to all of us.
Sort of mathematics and analysis aside, what is your gut on how democracy is evolving in America? Because watching it from the sidelines over here in Ireland, and certainly hearing how certain, actually both sides are talking about it, all of America is saying that democracy is under attack. The question, of course, is who do you think is attacking it, depending on who you're voting for? What do you feel about it? Studying democracy, what's going on in America?
Well, I think that we have two candidates that, you know, we have a really unpopular administration right now, and a candidate on the Democratic side that didn't face a primary. And we have a candidate on the Republican side that I think a lot of people are very disgusted by for different reasons. And I feel like I'm hoping that this is just a blip, that this is just a bad election that we're facing. I mean, regardless of my own feelings about the candidates and which one I like best, I think that it's a painful election for a lot of people. And I'm hoping that once in a few years, we'll be able to have some candidates that are younger, a new generation
right.
of candidates.
Right. But do you feel that democracy is in jeopardy in America?
So this isn't going to be popular with most of my colleagues, but I actually don't. I personally feel good about democracy. I feel good about how things are going in my own state of Georgia in a lot of ways. I think there's a lot of bipartisan and sort of smart legislation that's been passed. I mean, I'm personally sad about restrictions on abortion and other things. So there are things I don't like, but I have a lot of faith in democracy in the United States. I think that, President Trump tried to overturn the election in 2020, and I think that there were a lot of checks in place and that, you know, a lot of people stood up to that. So I'm not too worried,
right,
personally.
But given that Trump has said many times he's looking to demolish a lot of those systems that provide the checks and balances, is that not a cause for concern for someone who studies democracy?
It concerns me, but I also think he's a provocateur. I think it's hard to know how seriously to take those types of claims.
Really?
I don't think his first term in office did that too much. And this isn't to defend what he said. I find it personally repugnant, but at the same time, it doesn't concern me about the American people, our form of government. I don't think we're going to turn into an autocracy if Trump wins.
Certainly, it's what people are saying. It'll be interesting to see what happens in just a few days. Really interesting speaking with you.
It'll be more interesting to see what happens in 4 years.
So. Yeah. Elizabeth Maggie Penn is Professor of Political Science and Quantitative Theory and Methods at Emory. Elizabeth, thanks for your time.
Thank you very much.
Future Proof Extra
with Jonathan McRae.
Proudly supported by Research Ireland.
On News Talk.